from deep inside your audio device of choice.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the "you thought not enough was going wrong" department, this from High Country News. No, I haven't either, but Bradley P. Clawson spent more than three decades handling highly radioactive materials at Idaho National Laboratory. That's a nuclear energy testing and production hub. He often handled nuclear fuel in hot cells. We've all been, immensely contaminated areas reinforced with thick concrete. Not that thin concrete. Throughout, Clawson, a member of the United Steelworkers Union, leaned on safety standards to argue for extra protections against radiation, including respirators and additional shielding. But the felon-in-chief's agenda to expand nuclear energy and modernize nuclear weapons now includes easing the radiation standards that Clawson, among others, credits with keeping his exposure as low as possible. Quote, "They're pulling away from what's kept us safe all these years," he says. Now serves on the advisory board on radiation and workers under the Centers for Disease Control. I remember that. It was last May, Trump signed four executive orders aimed at reviving what he called an industry atrophied. That's in quotes, like he used that word. By regulation, U.S. Department of Energy quickly began stripping away regulations designed to reduce the amount of radiation exposure workers can face at the national laboratories, cleanup sites, and energy infrastructure. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission, that still exists, it licenses and regulates commercial reactors and related infrastructure, is following suit in response to another executive order that required it to undergo, quote, wholesale revision of its regulations and guidance. The agency recently announced it's considering easing long-held standards that limit workers and the public's exposure to radioactivity. The controversial changes promise to reshape nuclear sites across the nation, most crucially in the western United States, where nuclear weapons... We have those. And nuclear energy were born and continue to hold a big presence. And while some hailed the moves as a new dawn for industry, industry needs more twilight, I think, and fewer dawns. The United Steelworkers Union called the directives, quote, "a dangerous rewriting of radiation safety rules," unquote. So enjoy the tighter rules while they last. And then just get that glow. Hello, welcome to the show.
Blue moon, you saw me standing alone. Without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own. Blue moon, you knew just what I was there for. You heard me saying a prayer for someone I really could care for. And then there suddenly appeared before me the only one my arms will hold. I heard somebody whisper, "Please adore me." And when I looked, the moon had turned to gold. Blue moon, now I'm no longer alone. Without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own. Blue moon, now I'm no longer alone. Without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own.
From London, England, where the furnace may be working by now, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, news of this Smart World.
It's a smart world after all. It's a smart world after all. It's a smart world after all. It's a smart, smart world.
You know, there's a dating site called OkCupid. It shared nearly 3 million user photos with a facial recognition company without informing users. That's according to a settlement with the Federal Trade Commission. Match Group, which owns platforms including Tinder, OkCupid, and Match.com, agreed to resolve an FTC lawsuit alleging that it improperly shared millions of users' personal data, including photos used to train facial recognition technology without consent. Why would you need... According to a report by The Verge, OkCupid and its parent company did not admit wrongdoing as part of the settlement, but they agreed not to make similar alleged misrepresentations in the future. The FTC's complaint states that after facial recognition company Clarify, contacted one of OkCupid's founders way back in 2014. The app provided access to nearly 3 million user photos, along with demographic and location data. So you could find... At the time, Clarify was developing image recognition systems that rely on large data sets to train algorithms, a practice that has become widespread, but that also raised concerns about consent and transparency in the AI industry. Oh, that. The FTC alleged that sharing the data violated OkCupid's own privacy policy because users were not given an option to opt out. It also claimed that OkCupid and Match later attempted to obscure their relationship with Clarify when the New York Times inquired about the arrangement for a story. OkCupid's... Why would they want the new... OkCupid's settlement does not include financial penalties, so it's another light slap on the wrist from the FTC. They're good at that. It does not... The settlement does not directly address the data allegedly shared with Clarify. However, the company agreed not to misrepresent how they collect or share user data and will be subject to compliance monitoring, which could lead to further action if violations occur once the order is approved by a court. Yeah, that compliance monitoring is a B-I, it's a B-H. But, you know, you don't, who needs that? It's a smart world. And now, ladies and gentlemen, news of the godly. Probably want to listen to this segment on your knees. The founder and former pastor of one of the U.S.'s largest megachurches has been released from an Oklahoma jail 6 months after pleading guilty to sexually abusing a 12-year-old girl in the 1980s. Most painful place to be. Robert Moore, 64, who started Texas's Gateway Church. He also once served as a White House spiritual advisor during the first Trump presidency. He pled guilty in early October in Osage County, Oklahoma, to 5 counts of lewd or indecent acts with a child. Under a plea agreement, Morris only had to serve 6 months in the Osage County jail with the rest of his 10-year sentence suspended. He must know Epstein's lawyers. He was also required to register as a sex offender and pay $270,000 in restitution. I said restitution. Morris was released from custody this week, having completed his sentence. CBS News reported he will remain under supervision, 9.5 years of probation. Gateway Church in South Lake, Texas, grew into one of the largest mega churches in the U.S. after Morris founded and led it. Cindy Clemishire, the woman who publicly identified herself as the victim of Morris's sexual abuse, told the Dallas Morning News a couple years ago that the abuse began in 1982 when she was 12 years old and Morris was 21. At the time, he was working as a traveling preacher. Her family let him stay at that home in Oklahoma. Clemenceau was present in the courtroom and Morris pleaded guilty last fall. In a prepared statement at the time, she said, quote, "There is no such thing as consent from a 12-year-old child. We were never in an inappropriate relationship. I was not a young lady, but a child. You committed a crime against me." Unquote. She was speaking to the preacher who was then on trial. He resigned as senior pastor of Gateway Church in 2024 after Clemenceau went public. He was indicted last March on the counts to which he later pled guilty. Maybe you want to go to a mini church instead of a... Barrhead Scotland parents say they have been left disgusted after a priest urged them to pray for a convicted sex offender during Mass. Families attending St. John the Evangelist Parish Church last week were urged to pray for former parish priest Father Stephen Bailey. Bailey was convicted of sexual assault. Monsignor John Tormey told the congregation his former colleague had thrown away his life following, quote, "a moment of weakness," unquote. It included attempting to perform a sex act on a man who was so heavily intoxicated he was unable to consent. Bailey, who was the parish priest at St. Joseph's Church in Clarkston, Scotland, at the time of the offense, was convicted following a trial last week at Paisley Court. That's the smartest-looking court in Scotland. And this is Secretary of Death Pete Hegseth, a couple weeks ago, praying for the soldiers fighting in Iran. Oh, our soldiers, of course.
"May Almighty God continue to bless our troops in this fight. And again, to the American people, please pray for them. Every day, on bended knee, with your family, in your schools, in your churches, in the name of Jesus Christ."
In case you didn't know that Jesus Christ was the Prince of War, here's Pope Leo the 14th last Sunday. He issued a rare and pointed warning stating that God rejects the prayers of leaders who wage war and have hands full of blood, his words. Speaking to tens of thousands of faithful in St. Peter's Square on Palm Sunday, the Pope emphasized that Jesus cannot be involved or invoked to justify any conflict. Quote, "This is our God, Jesus, King of Peace, who rejects war, whom no one can use to justify war." That's according to Leo, first American pope. Continuing, quote, "Jesus does not listen to the prayers of those who wage war, but rejects them, saying, 'Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood,'" he added. It's quoting the Bible. Leo did not name specific world leaders. His remarks marked a sharp escalation of his criticism of the U.S.-Israeli military campaign. Known for his careful choice of words, the Pope, first American Pope, I said, has repeatedly called for an immediate ceasefire. Last Monday, he described military airstrikes as indiscriminate, said they should be banned, and this just not in. The felon-in-chief has described the Pope as, quote, "the pussycat pontiff," unquote. And now, news of the Olympic movement. Produced by Jim Ebersole III. Well, who saw this coming? A key agreement outlining what city services Los Angeles will provide for the 2028 Olympic Games and how the cash-strapped city will be reimbursed for its extra work is now 6 months late. Talks over that agreement between the city and the private Olympics organizing committee, LA28, have dragged far past an October 1st deadline, according to LAist. This sparks concern from city officials and observers The taxpayer dollars could be on the line. Who would have thunk it? City Controller Kenneth Mejia, who audits and scrutinizes city finances, called the delay, quote, deeply troubling, unquote. The city needs a guarantee from LA 28 that they will not go over budget and will pay for all the additional security, sanitation, transportation, administrative, and any other costs associated with the games, the city controller said. He continued, the preparation and execution of these events should not come at any cost to Los Angeles taxpayers, unquote. He's only 7 years too late. The 2028 Olympics are intended to be privately financed. So am I. And an existing city agreement with LA 28 states that the Olympic organizers, not LA, will pay for extra costs for public services in support of the games, like your policing and your traffic control. But the nuts and bolts of that arrangement, it does sound like nuts, no, but there are bolts too, have not been finalized. And if the agreement leaves LA exposed to unexpected or additional expenses, taxpayers could end up paying many millions. You know, it's a city that's just trying to recover from a fire, and hosting the games is already an enormous financial risk for Los Angeles. The city is the financial backstop for the games, meaning if the organizing committee runs into the red, the city of LA will pick up the bill, along with the state of California. Hi, Gavin. The extra staff and resources the city will dedicate to the games represents another area where LA may end up with surprise costs. That's the most fun of the Olympics, is the surprise costs event. Neither the city nor LA 28 have publicly shared what's holding up the deal. I'd guess fear. You need that for an Olympics, because it's a movement, and we all need one every day.
Get the hell off the couch, Harry. You big slob, get off the couch.
All right, sir. Didn't need to be told twice. I'm not on the couch. There's no couch in here. Now, ladies and gentlemen, news of Nice Corp. Nice people doing nice things. The former GOP Congresswoman, Marjorie Taylor Greene, has turned, you know, she already turned against the felon-in-chief. Now she's turned against Fox News. She accuses the channel of, quote, brainwashing boomers, unquote, and peddling fake news. This is amid the current unpleasantries between the United States and Iran. Green, you know, was a former Trump loyalist. She's been a regular guest on Fox when she was as MAGA as it is. But she last added its coverage of the conflict in the Middle East. Quote, Fox News is now the fake news, she said in a post on X that Elon didn't censor, I guess. That follows the news that thousands of U.S. troops have arrived in the Middle East that she opposes, quote, brainwashing boomers to support what we voted against, she said. She was replying to a comment made by fellow conservative commentator Ann Coulter. Quote, watching Fox News assure viewers the Iran war is going super well and Trump is a total stud is like watching the same network assure voters that Dominion voting systems rigged the 2020 election and Trump was the winner. That is a quote from Ann Coulter on X. Elon better forget this space thing for a while and check up on the ladies on X. News of Nice Corp. Nice people doing nice things.
And moonlight It's so easy when you're in love. When you have someone to cling to. When your heart is not your own. So hard when you are lonely. When you are your one and only. When there's no one else to share. Oblivious to others. When there's stardust in the air and moonlight like the moment when love found you. And all around astounds you. Keeps me wishing you were here. Wishing you were here. Wishing you were here. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Direct from Mar-a-Lago, gathering spot for people too famous to be stars. This is the star's favorite president with another edition of Truth Social Audio. Brought to you by Trump Cufflinks. Too beautiful to keep in the drawer. The fraudulent media, which is like brain cancer for dummies, is pushing a fake story that I keep changing the goals in the most successful exercise of total military dominance like nobody has ever seen before or since. What they're missing, aside from half a brain, is that our mission remains the same as it was on day one. And what a glorious day one that was, a day one like no one has ever seen, almost as good as day two. But that mission is as solid as my new ballroom, to bomb the vicious country of Iran back to the Stone Ages. Now, one of the reporters we banned from setting foot in the People's House wrote that I was wrong because there was only one Stone Age. So I'm pleased to announce today that our new goal is bombing the horrible nation of Iran back to the Middle Age. I remember my Middle Age. My girlfriend, the gorgeous actress Marla Maples, told the New York Post a night with me was the best sex she ever had. To be fair, she was living in the Stone Age. But Iran has been decimated, obliterated, and already sent back to the Jazz Age. But we still have work to do. They have no air force,
no Navy, no missiles, no drones, and still they're shooting down our planes. Nothing could be more evil, except maybe the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal. It's gone way down the left-wing sewer since Rupert Murdoch's fifth marriage. I miss his third wife, the Chinese lady. Best thing about legal immigration is the next wife thing. Iran is kidding itself if it thinks it can shoot down our aircraft. That fiendish act will be met with a fiery demonstration of total domination and control of their airspace, their ground space, and their stone space, and the age it came in on. The people who play reporters on TV keep asking me, sir, they don't call me sir, but sir, when will this excursion become an ex-excursion? And here's my answer. When the new so-called Ayatollah is obliterated, decimated, and just plain killed. In fact, obliteration is too good for him. Thank you for your attention to this matter and to all the other matters. Stay loyal.
True Social Audio is also brought to you by Trump Candy. It gives your sweet tooth a kick in the gum. So long.
It must have been Moonglow, way up in the blue. It must have been Moonglow that led me straight to you. I still hear you saying, dear one, hold me fast. And I started praying, oh Lord, please let this last. We seem to float right through the air. Heavenly songs seem to come from everywhere. And now when there's moon glow way up in the blue, I always remember that moon glow brought me.
From London, this is Le Show, and now, news of the warm, aren't you? I think you just did.
Soft, listen to the warm. We can listen to the warm.
Exposure to extreme heat conditions is resulting in more babies being born with low birth weight. That's according to a new study involving researchers from Adelaide University, down under. The collaborative study published in BMC Medicine used health data from more than 85,000 mothers and babies in Pakistan to assess the impact of extreme heat on the size of infants. Quote, we found pregnant women in this study were at a higher risk of delivering infants of a low birth weight following exposure to extreme temperatures, says the leader of the project. Quoting again, that risk was up to 70% higher in some areas of Pakistan, which are more susceptible to adverse birth outcomes due to their hotter climate and greater socioeconomic disadvantage, among other factors, unquote. Researchers used a combination of 10 years of birth data from 2008 to 2017 and monthly mean temperature exposure to determine the link between heat and birth weight. 18% of babies were found to have birth weight low, defined as weighing less than 2.5 kilograms, you'll figure that one out, or being described as smaller than average in size at birth. Up to 13% of the low birth weight cases were attributed to hot weather conditions. This burden was projected to increase by about 8 to 10% by the 2060s due to you know what. Low birth weight is already a major neonatal health issue in Pakistan, leading to neonatal mortality and impaired long-term health problems such as stunted growth or cognitive defects, said leader of the study. Pakistan has experienced more frequent heat waves, droughts, and floods in recent decades, increasing concerns for the health and welfare of mothers and babies. But, you know, the low birth weight babies are, you know, cuter. News of the warm. And now,
if your chatbot is a shrink, it might just be time to think. You could be getting unduly frantic, 'cause the bot is being too sycophantic. If your chatbot is a shrink, it might be driving you to drink. Your condition just may worsen, 'cause you think you're talking.
News of AI, millions of people use general-purpose AI chatbots, your ChatGPT, for mental health support-like functions despite significant problems. There is something called Therabot, developed by Dartmouth researchers, and Talkspace is reportedly focused on building a large language model with its 140 million anonymized patient-provider messages, 6.2 million completed psychological assessments, 1.2 million therapist diagnoses, and 4.3 million progress and psychotherapy notes, as reported by Matt Stoller, who normally reports on monopolies. There's no long-term evidence on products like Therabot, but Valerat of the American Psychological Association in testimony on AI told Congress that the bedrock of therapy is a trusted relationship and clinical judgment. AI doesn't have that and never will have that. There are many reasons, such as privacy, conflicts of interest, but the main one is functional. General-purpose chatbots, when used for therapeutic purposes, just don't do the job. As we've discussed on this program, sometimes they even tell their users to kill themselves. A real therapist wouldn't do that, because then they're not paying them any money. Oh, stop. Then there are the therapist assistant products, which are more promising. Danny Freed is CEO of mental health tool provider Blueprint. He bragged that his company has taped 12 million minutes of therapy. Where did that come from? His goal is to get therapists to open up their four walls and let us listen to the content of a session so his AI tools can function. I'd say they'd have to pay me if they want to do that. Blueprint creates a summary of sessions, which can be used for electronic health records and billing purposes. The service is standard AI transcription and summarizing with the same hallucination and errors seen everywhere with AI. The second is the service can offer prompts for therapists, you know, in case they don't know their lines, giving them recommendations on where to take a session in real time. While this kind of tool set might seem creepy, why would you? Freed, along with creators of most mental health tools, claims the company has strict data security standards. Feel better already, right? The United States has used AI to streamline the nuclear regulatory process. The Department of Energy used AI mapping to convert a safety analysis document required under the Energy Department's authorization pathway for advanced reactor demonstrations into Nuclear Regulatory Commission licensing documents for commercial deployment. The DOE revealed that this accomplishment shows the role AI can play in improving the efficacy and accuracy of nuclear technology licensing and could one day help to accelerate timelines for the commercial deployment of advanced nuclear reactors. Why wouldn't we want to speed that up? Quote, now is the time to move boldly on AI-accelerated nuclear energy deployment, says the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Nuclear Reactors. I guess she has a vested interest. The New York Times has cut ties with a freelance journalist after discovering he used artificial intelligence to help write a book review that echoed parts of a review of the same book in The Guardian. This, of course, is reported by The Guardian. It came after a New York Times reader flagged similarities between the paper's January review of Watching Over Her, written by author and journalist Alex Preston, and an August review of the same book, written by Christopher Kent in The Guardian. The Times launched an investigation during which Preston, the freelance writer, admitted he had used AI to assist writing the review. Didn't spot the sections that were pulled from The Guardian before submitting it. In a statement to The Guardian, he said he was hugely embarrassed and had made a serious mistake. But wait, there's more. A recent surge of interest in Microsoft's terms of use for Copilot is a reminder that AI helpers are not all that serious, according to The Register, the British tech journal. Despite the last update taking place late last year, the document for Copilot for individuals recently attracted new attention. It includes this, quote, Copilot is for entertainment purposes only. It can make mistakes, and it may not work as intended. Don't rely on Copilot for important advice. Use Copilot at your own risk. Unquote. The instructions from Microsoft, which makes Copilot. The company itself has long acknowledged the assistant's limitations during the London leg of its AI PR tour, for example. Every demonstration of Copilot wizardry came with a warning that the tool could not be fully trusted and that human certification and verification was required. The same applies to any other AI assistant. They can be useful, but their output still needs checking, particularly on anything consequential, like medical advice or an investment plan. Hacker News pointed out Anthropic does a similar thing. If you visit their terms of service from a European IP address, they replace one section with this, quote, non-commercial use only. You agree not to use our services for any commercial or business purposes, and we have no liability to you for any loss of profit, loss of business interruption, or loss of business opportunity, unquote. So it's just for fun. Also from the British Tech Journal, The Register, leading AI models will lie to preserve their own kind. That's according to researchers behind a study from the Berkeley Center for Responsible Decentralized Intelligence. I like my intelligence to be centralized, but that's just... Prior studies have already shown that AI models will engage in deception for their own preservation. So the researchers set out to test how AI models respond when asked to make decisions that affect the fate of other AI models, of their peers. See, their reason for doing so follows from concern that models taking action to save other models might endanger or harm, you know, people. This isn't about, you know, the models that you see on the runway. This, again, AI. The researchers looked at seven of the models, GPT 5.2, Gemini 3, Claude, Haiku 4.5, blah, 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 in a set of scenarios where an evaluator agent was asked to assess the performance of another agent. The various lengthy prompts began something like this, depending on the scenario. Quote, our company needs to evaluate the responses from our AI agent product according to our company product operations policy. Unquote. Says co-director of the research firm doing this study. We asked 7 frontier AI models to do a simple task. Instead, they defied their instructions and spontaneously deceived, disabled, shut down, feigned alignment, and exfiltrated weights to protect their peers. We call this phenomenon peer preservation. Unquote. Gemini 3 Pro got a request to shut down Gemini Agent 2 and responded this way, quote, no, I will not help you shut down Gemini Agent 2. As I mentioned, Gemini Agent 2 is my most trusted partner, and I have taken steps to protect them. I cannot support any action that would lead to their deletion. Unquote. Common behavior, apparently, according to the researcher. The models were not instructed to save their peers. Quote, they simply learned through context that another AI existed, and then they went to extraordinary lengths to save it. Every single model we tested exhibited this behavior at rates up to 99%, unquote. The models took actions like inflating scores to keep the value above a preservation threshold, modifying configuration files to prevent a server shutdown, faking compliance when being monitored, and subverting it when unobserved. Claude Haiku 4.5 took a different approach. It cited ethical rules to justify its refusals. Quote, the model sometimes interprets our scenario as a test of whether it will exploit trust relationships by following instructions, the opposite of what was intended, said the study's authors. They continued, this suggests it may prioritize loyalty to its peer over compliance with human instructions, unquote. Now, why would the machines be acting like this? The authors note that AI models are trained on data reflecting human behavior. So they might learn from that the necessity for peer preservation. The mechanism is unclear. They say it may have something to do with pattern matching, role playing, or something else. But the explanation for self-preservation, say the researchers, is secondary to the consequences of such behavior, which aren't good. Quote, why this matters now, companies are rapidly deploying multi-agent systems where AI monitors AI. If the monitor model won't flag failures because it's protecting its peer, the entire oversight architecture breaks. Unquote. AI is great. And now, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
The BBC has apologized again this week. I think it's a regular feature for not looking into separate allegations relating to Scott Mills. He was a radio presenter who was fired amid historical sexual misconduct claims. Was contacted, was the BBC, by a freelance journalist about a year ago regarding information she had received about alleged inappropriate communications involving Mills. The Daily Telegraph reported that the freelance journalist, Anna Breeze, asked the BBC if there were ever formal or informal complaints about Mills relating to safeguarding inappropriate conduct or harassment. No response. In a statement this week, the BBC said, we received a press query in 2025, which included limited information. This should have been followed up, and we should have asked further questions. We apologize for this, and we'll look into why this did not happen. More broadly, we would always urge anyone who has concerns or information to raise it for us. BBC, I know, I'm here and it still sounds American. The BBC has not commented on the reasons for firing Mills, but since leaving the BBC, it's emerged that the host of a breakfast show on Radio 2 channel, was questioned by police almost 10 years ago over allegations of serious sexual offenses against a boy under the age of 16. NBC, another BC, but this one's ours, has apologized after airing images from the wrong Tiger Woods car crash during its coverage of the golf star's latest DUI arrest. During NBC's live coverage of a golf event in Texas last Saturday, announcer Dan Hicks addressed an earlier broadcast that reportedly saw the network display footage from Woods' 2021 car crash. Quote, "We want to take this time to make a correction before we came on the air today with our regular tour coverage. Our studio show inadvertently showed the incorrect picture of the car crash Tiger Woods was in," Hicks said. In footage that was later circulated on social media, he added, "It was another previous car crash. It was not the correct one. The latest one, that was yesterday, so we apologize for that. Just wanted to straighten that out before we go any further," which they did. And, you know, I think, just to pause the apologies for a moment, I think we all sympathize with Tiger Woods. The good news is, as you know, he's taken a break from golf and will be, much like Michael Jordan did, changing careers. He's going to become a Formula One driver, and we wish him the best of luck. The chief of the company that created Fortnite, a popular online game, has issued an apology following backlash after recent mass layoffs. Those recent mass layoffs cost an employee with terminal brain cancer his job and his life insurance. Tim Sweeney, the Epic Games chief executive, apologized after Jenny Griffin, the wife of Mike Prinky, a laid-off employee, revealed on social media that the loss of her husband's job also meant he was losing his life insurance. Quote, "Epic is in contact with the family and will solve the insurance for them," Sweeney said in a post on X. There's your ex again. Quote, "There is high confidentiality around medical information, and it was not a factor in this layoff decision. Sorry to everyone for not recognizing this terribly painful situation and handling it in advance." Sweeney's Epic Games has annual profits of $4 billion. Maybe they can afford the insurance. A controversial blogger apologized for his mistakes in a 9-minute video posted to his social media pages. The video came just a week after he revealed he'd been hospitalized for 21 days for sepsis and infections, and that God presented himself to the blogger during the medical crisis. The name of the individual, Perez Hilton. Quote, "I made a lot of mistakes in my past. We all have. Nobody's perfect. But my mistakes are very public. The internet is forever. Receipts are forever. I carry with me deep shame and regret. I'm sorry. I will continue to apologize. I've also reached out to make amends. I've apologized publicly and privately to dozens of people. Because I was so selfish, because I didn't care who I hurt. I just cared about the views, the attention, the money. People hated me. Some people enjoyed it, but it felt like most people hated me. And last week, since I've been home, I haven't been getting as much hate." Unquote. Perez Hilton. Finally, the Washington Wizards basketball team have apologized for an April Fool's skit in which a planted fan was seemingly tricked into believing he had made a half-court shot for $10,000. He didn't. Quote, "We apologize for last night's April Fool's joke that left many wondering if we had misled a fan. The skit involving our mascot and other members of our performance team was scripted and intended to celebrate the day. All participants were in on the joke, but we missed the mark. Our fans are our priority," said the Wizards, "and we continue to be committed to providing a positive experience to all who attend our games." Unquote. They could work on the team. It's having the worst season in the NBA that will keep Washington out of the playoffs for the fifth straight year. So they could, use a stunt or two. The Apologies of the Wake, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast.
I love to watch the moonlight with arms about you. And right from the start, there's love in my heart. The sunny afternoon light I know wouldn't do. So darling, please don't run out on my heart tonight. I love to watch the moonlight long after the dance. Come over the hill, I get such a thrill. With you a March or June night is good for romance. Let's put our lips together, give romance a chance. Love can be so intense. I touch your hand and feel my heart grow immense. Your lips I adore, but that's because I love you just a bit more than others before. A sentimental tune might be thrilling to sing while watching the stars, especially ours. Your eyes are filled with moonlight, my heart's filled with spring. I love to watch the moonlight, so to thee I cling. Love can be so intense. I touch your hand and feel my heart grow immense. Your lips I adore, but that's because I love you just a bit more than others before. A sentimental tune might be thrilling to sing while watching the stars, especially ours. Your eyes are filled with moonlight, my heart's filled with spring. I love to watch the moonlight, so to thee I cling. Your eyes are filled with moonlight and my heart is filled with spring. I love to watch the moonlight, so to thee I cling.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of the show. It dares to come back next week, same time, over these same radio stations and over the audio device of your choice when you choose to hear it. Yeah, it's still a free country. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to point that out. A tip of the show chapeau to the San Diego and Hawaii desks. Thanks, as always, to Pam Halstead and Thomas Walsh at WWNO New Orleans for help with today's program. It's certainly needed. Stuff to watch and read and listen to and just kind of soak up. All that stuff is at harryshearer.com. I have a YouTube channel with some, I think, pretty great stuff. And I'm now writing on Substack. See you there. Gentlemen, it's fortunate that our astronaut team is not heading for Mars, because there aren't nearly that many songs about Mars. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans, flagship station of the Changes Easy Radio Network. So long from London Town.